From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1992 when Rochester City Council President Lois Geis had an idea. She wanted to bring first-time homebuyers to the city of Rochester with an event in each of the four quadrants of the city. That event would come to be known as City Living Sundays and was a fixture for 22 years. That program was eventually put on ice. City leaders have created a new event that follows in that same kind of tradition. It's called Celebrate City Living. The event is this coming Saturday at City Hall. And as the event approaches, we thought there were a number of interesting questions to examine. First of all, is Rochester successfully attracting more home buyers and more families? And then downtown, it certainly seems there's been a steady flow of luxury and higher-end condos and apartments. Maybe you've wondered, like we have, is there really a demand for all of that supply? Who's buying those things? We're going to try to answer that question as well. And at the center of this hour is a conversation about where people want to live. So listeners, I'd love to hear from you this hour. Would you consider buying a house or apartment or renting in Rochester? Are you already doing that? What are the factors to consider for you? Let me introduce my guests for the hour. Beverly Fairbrooks is here, Vice President and Regional Community Reinvestment Officer at M&T Bank and a co-chair of Celebrate City Living. Beverly, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for being here. Leah Anselm is here as well, Senior Community Housing Planner for the City of Rochester. Leah, welcome to you.
Thanks so much.
And Mark Seawick is here. He's a real estate agent and buy sales, the number one agent in the City of Rochester. That's what I hear anyway, Mark Seawick. So it's nice to see you.
Good to see you, Evan.
Thanks for being here. And, you know, Mark, that question of supply and demand probably is one that a lot of people have when they see another new development, another new luxury set of condos, et cetera. There's still demand for the supply?
It's interesting. I actually was having some conversations over the weekend. A lot of what's going on downtown right now, these are apartments that are being built, luxury apartments. And Midtown is the first of these projects to actually start renting out. They're doing really well. I had a conversation on Saturday night, and they've gotten quite a number, over half of the apartments filled at this point in time. So that's the first one out of the block, and there are more coming online. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next few years as more of these apartments become available, and whether or not the enthusiasm that exists today continues, or whether or not perhaps some of these developers are going to have to turn some of these apartments into condominiums and townhouses.
Sure, and we're going to be looking at some of the demographics and numbers and trends as we go throughout the hour to help explain why so far there has been a supply, a demand for the supply, and whether that could change eventually. When it comes to, I was going to say City Living Sundays, I'm still stuck on that, which, by the way, stopped happening how many years ago now?
We only took 1 year off.
Okay, so Celebrate City Living is what it's called now, but City Living Sundays, essentially the same kind of goal and idea, Leah?
Well, the goal really is to encourage you to find a neighborhood to grow in. You know, we wanted the model of City Living Sundays, which was great. People loved it. They wanted to come in. They wanted to see what was out there. And we said, okay, but that's limiting. What else is there? You can be, you know, upgrading from your first home to your second or your third. You can be, you know, an empty nester. You can be a renter. You can be finding somewhere. But we wanted people to know where they were doing that. There's more than just four happy neighborhoods in the city of Rochester, and we wanted to celebrate all of them.
Okay, and so if you go online and the website is celebratecityliving.com, what are people going to find there?
You'll find a description of all of the neighborhoods, the different character, the different resources, the different fun things that make each of them unique. You know, there's a very big difference between why somebody would choose to live in Mayor's Heights and why somebody would choose to live in 14621. And both of those are great things, but you need to know what they are. You can also, this is brand new, you can find a listing by neighborhood. So let's say you decide that, you know, Park Ave is the way to go. You'll be able to actually look at what's available in Park Ave.
Okay, so this is what the website is designed to do. Now tell me about the event on Saturday. What's coming up on Saturday?
When we talk about, because you referenced City Living Sundays, mm-hmm. and this is like an enhancement, you know, we broaden our marketing efforts to reach more people who have a need and who are looking at the city of Rochester. So on Saturday, you're going to see our players that have supported us in the past, our nonprofit housing agencies, our lending institutions, the city of Rochester, the Rochester City School District. But you're also going to see, and so for people to know what their options are when it comes down to schools. We're going to have charter schools and parochial schools that will be present. We will also have a lot more of the businesses, small businesses in the community that help to make up this personality and the character of the different neighborhoods. And that would include folks like Hart's Grocers or, you know, Home Leasing is going to be there, Conifer. When we talk about who's going to be there and what the options are as far as we've got the high-end options. But you also have those affordable end options for folks who are, you know, who have a moderate or lower income means. So they're going to be there also. So we want to make sure that people understand this is not just for a certain targeted group. This is open to everyone. So we want to make sure they understand who's going to be there. So if you have questions in regards to what are my rental options, they'll find it there.
Okay. Saturday, it's at City Hall?
Saturday at City Hall from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. And it's at City Hall, 30 Church Street. And there's parking, free parking, in Sister City's parking garage. Also in some of the surface lots surrounding City Hall. So, you know, we're going to be there. We've got a lot of different events and activities planned. There will be food there. We're going to have city councilors, the county legislator, Jim Shepherd. He'll also be there. So if folks want to come in and stop in and talk with them, meet them, and talk about what's going on in the city of Rochester, if they have questions or whatever, they will be there.
Okay, so 10 to 3.
10 a.m. till 3 p.m.
That's at City Hall on Saturday. And Leah, you know, is there a single goal that is bigger than others? Do you want more families in Rochester? Do you want, you know, more of sort of higher people to buy higher end or spend more on housing? Is there a single target that you think this is what we need to do better with that you're hoping to start changing?
You know, neighborhoods need to be diverse to be successful. And when we say diversity, we mean income diversity, we mean family makeup, we mean the household. You know, we are highlighting a different neighborhood every month on Instagram and, you know, families for April. And we were trying to make sure that we really have a very diverse group of household makeup. And so we want families to be very happy to move in. Or already be here. But we also want, you know, singletons. We want, you know, the LGBTQ community. We want everybody. There's no target group that we're hoping to live in the city, because what makes a neighborhood, you know, the renters, the owners, the businesses, it's all one engaged community.
Mark Seawick, what year did you sell your first property in Rochester?
1990. Yeah.
So it's coming on 26 years now. What's changed? What's the difference, the biggest difference in Rochester between 1990 and today?
I think it's the complexion and the makeup of downtown Rochester. Downtown Rochester in 1990, still, there were so many options in terms of places to shop and restaurants to eat at. It was a very, and offices. Everybody was working downtown. Great Migration occurred, and when Bob Duffy was elected mayor, I don't know, 12 years ago or thereabouts, everybody started talking about the renaissance of downtown Rochester that was soon to happen. And I think only in the past 9 months, year and a half, are we starting to see some of that vision starting to actually unfold, and it's going to become very quickly more and more of a residential enclave, and less about the offices that are down there. They're still going to exist, but we're going to have thousands of people living downtown, thousands that haven't lived there, well, probably forever.
I saw the headline, and I'm sure you guys did as well recently. Five Star Bank moving its regional offices downtown, opening a second Citi branch on Chestnut Street, the former HSBC Plaza office tower, and they're going to rename it Five Star Bank Plaza. And the Five Star president and CEO, Martin Birmingham, said last Monday, quote, "We could not think of a better time to be doing business than right here, right now in downtown Rochester." And I don't know, Mark, you're going to know better, and maybe our guests in studio will know better as well, but when businesses choose, whether it's downtown or at least city proper, are they following housing? I mean, the old saw is that housing follows jobs or housing follows retail, that kind of a thing. Does this kind of development happen without some of the housing development that we've seen?
I think that Marty and what's going on with Five Star, I think that's probably not tied to or associated with the residential renaissance that's occurring right now. So I think that they are probably two different, but it's just one more option, one more component that's going to change the complexion of downtown. It's going to become a very vibrant and an interesting place, not only to work, but also to live.
Why do you think it's not related?
I'm not quite sure whether or not I personally or many people would choose to move to a particular neighborhood because there is a corporate headquarters of a bank located someplace nearby. But there is a residual effort or a residual phenomenon that takes place. And that phenomenon has to do with businesses that are actually catering to the office workers and to the residents. So you mentioned Hart's Grocery a short while ago. That's just a two-minute walk from what is currently HSBC Plaza. Hart's is going to become a more viable and solid entity as a result of those workers coming downtown. And as a result of that, then you're going to have more more residents. There's soon going to be, I would imagine, they're going to have a dry cleaner that's popping up eventually to take care of not only the increased number of office workers, but also the residents who are moving down there to rent or to buy.
And by the way, I mean, I understand the point Mark's making when he says, I'm not sure people are going to move into a neighborhood if you've got a five-star. But I'm wondering if you think five-star decides we're moving downtown because there are housing options for our workers who want to be down there.
That could be. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy into it, but
if I can interject,
sure,
on
absolutely.
That, Five Star Bank is actually our title sponsor for Celebrate City Living, and I think to speak to your point, they're trying to make that commitment to be, whether it's the chicken or the egg, they're trying to make a commitment to the city and bring people in or keep people there, as well as, you know, do what banks do. I think Beverly would agree with you. Make money.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not moving somewhere they think is not going to be viable long term, right, Beverly? Fair?
Yes, that would be fair.
Okay. So when it comes to what people are asking for, what people want, let me kind of go around the table and ask it. And I'll start with you, Leo. When there's not any single profile of someone who's going to come out on Saturday, for example. I mean, you're going to have young and old, you're going to have families, you'll have young professionals, I guess. I would assume so, right?
Right. So far, you know, we have several dozen people who have registered, although you don't have to. And I would say that I'm really excited about the range of people who have said that they're coming. There are addresses from outside Monroe County. There are addresses from inside the city. There are addresses from the suburbs. And so, you know, people of all shapes and sizes are interested in what is there to offer. And once they get there, then they can say, yep, I chose the right neighborhood, or hey, I had no idea this was there.
Is there a single concern expressed by young families over any others? Do you hear from families who say, I would love to live in the city, I'd think about that, but I have to be able to know X, Y, Z? Are you hearing any specific, whether it's, is there a grocery store nearby, schools, whatever it is, are you hearing anything specifically?
I think that that's probably a question better answered by the realtors. I mean,
sure.
More what I'm getting is, what will I get on Saturday?
Yeah. You're nodding yes. over there, Beverly, yeah?
Well, yes, and I have friends and family who have asked that question, you know, what about the school districts? You know, what about the crime? What about, you know, what about the types of conveniences? Because they want it, wherever they live, that they will be near those things that are they need to be able to function and survive on a day-to-day basis, whether it meets the needs of their children, their own personal needs, their employment needs. So these are the types of questions that do get asked. And whether it be young or old, first-time homebuyer, an established homeowner that's looking for a second home or another home, downsizing, those that are enlarging their personal space. So you're going to get that, and I do get that from friends and family who ask all the time. And so, you know, there's an interest as to what's going on Saturday and who can I talk to, who will be there to be able to respond and answer my questions. So definitely.
Well, I want to listen to some comments that came from the program last week. We'll get Mark's take on this as well here. This comes from Mayor Knox White, the longtime mayor of Greenville, South Carolina. He has been the mayor there since 1995, very popular Republican mayor, and he's coming to Rochester on Wednesday as a guest of the Community Design Center of Rochester because he is going to be talking about the success Greenville had in redeveloping its essentially the heart of its city around a waterfront, a waterfall, et cetera. But during that conversation with us last week, he expressed, he answered someone's phone call and said essentially, well, we've got consolidated schools and we don't really have the extreme highs and lows, and that really helps. So you're going to listen, you're going to hear my question to him and some of his response as well from last week. Mayor, do you think that without strong schools, downtown areas, no matter if it's Rochester or wherever else around this country, downtown areas and cities proper are going to be attracting, you know, for those who choose to live there, they're going to attract, like you said, older adults and childless couples, single professionals, for the most part. without
And most redeveloped downtowns, in terms of the condo and apartment scene for most successful urban areas in America, I'd say right now, and Greenville will be like that, would still have a lot of that. Part of that's price-driven. The retirees can buy the more expensive things, it seems. And then young professionals want to live in the apartments to be living in an urban area. So it's always a bit of a challenge to attract young families to the immediate downtown area. But just outside of the downtown, that where you have more traditional homes, you want to attract, you know, families and lots of choices of different kinds of people. But yeah, that's where the schools come into play. If the schools aren't good, whether there's a private school option or a public school, that's kind of a non-starter. We have a consolidated school district, and that helps a lot. And long ago, the school district very wisely, looking at the older schools, which tended to be in the city, of course, they began to create charter schools and what we call magnet schools. They're actually public schools, but they have an emphasis, whether it's math or arts, or we even have one that's an elementary school of engineering, believe it or not. This is a strong manufacturing area, and we have a lot of engineers here. And over time, that has been dramatic. We have very strong, competitively strong, you know, very popular public schools in the city all around, and that was about a 30-year effort, and that's been successful, and that's one of our secrets, is that young families don't have to worry about living in the city or living in the suburbs. They can pick a city school because, in fact, there's probably a waiting list to get in most of the city schools.
All right, so that's in Greenville, South Carolina. And you heard Mayor Knox White say that was a 30-year process. It doesn't happen overnight. None of our guests in the studio are going to be able to wave a magic wand and improve education overnight. That's not to disparage the Rochester City School District. That's not what we're doing. But we are talking about what is perhaps a perceived gap in quality. So, Mark Seawick, when it comes to families moving to Rochester, are you working with any families who say, yep, the city's an option, I'm happy with the schools, et cetera, or are you hearing concerns the same way that you did 25 years ago?
I'll go on a little bit of a limb here. You referenced a perceived gap. I don't think there's any perceived gap. There is an absolute gap, and for that reason, we don't move families into the city, unfortunately. We oftentimes will sell property to somebody who's 24 years of age or 26 years of age, and 5 years, 7 years later, once their first child is approaching kindergarten age, we sell that property, we move them out to the suburbs where they're enjoying a better school district, and then 18 years later, once the kids have graduated, we move them back in. And it's just cyclical. We see it constantly.
It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed. And unfortunately, until that point in time, when things in the school district and the city school district do change, we're just not going to be able to attract families. The small number of families who do live in the city, they do take advantage of, whether it's an Allendale, Columbia, or a Harley, a private school, or they're sending their kids, if they're fortunate enough to be able to afford or enjoy a scholarship, or they're sending their kids to charter schools. But unfortunately, and we don't need to get into the myriad of reasons, you know, there are all sorts of, but until that is resolved as an issue, we're not going to be able to attract families.
Are you ready for some phone callers who are not going to be happy hearing you say that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know there are plenty who take pride in sending their kids to city schools, but I also understand that what Mark is trying to do is say, from your perspective as a real estate agent, that's reality. That's what you're saying.
That is, you know, I didn't create the reality. I'm unfortunately just recognizing the phenomena that I see play out every day of my life.
Listeners, if you want to call and complain to Mark, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI. It's toll-free, 263-9994, if you're in Rochester. Mark, I'm curious to know what you think of when you hear Mayor Knox White of Greenville talk about a 30-year effort to consolidate schools so that couples can live in the city or suburban Greenville and know that there isn't going to be the concern about that gap, that there's going to be more of an egalitarian approach to education. What would that be like here? What would you think about that?
Are you asking how it is that I would solve that particular
problem? No, I'm curious to know. I mean, can you imagine that kind of a scenario in Rochester and what that would do to your line of work?
I can't at the moment envision that. It's just the problems just seem to be so deep-seated. If it were to happen, I think that we'd be living in a much different community. I mean, we would actually see neighborhoods that are integrated, neighborhoods in which you have Hispanics living next to African-Americans who are living next to Caucasians, and we don't see that right now.
We'll hear from some who say, yes, that we have some of that, but you're saying you'd see that much more commonly.
Absolutely. Much more, you know, back to Leah from a few moments ago, you know, we would have truly integrated neighborhoods, you know, in a much more vibrant and interesting community in which to live.
All right, Leah, so you've been sitting across the table just waiting.
Oh, sure.
You can punch back if you want. Go ahead.
The city of Rochester has a home purchase assistance program, a grant program, and there are several employers that have signed on to match or otherwise supplement that. And one of our biggest successes, and we love talking about it, is the University of Rochester's mm-hmm. program.
Yep.
And right now, there's no inventory because people are so excited to purchase in sectors 4 and 6. And that encompasses the 19th Ward. It encompasses around the university. It encompasses over in the South Wedge. I actually have several coworkers who are just now purchasing in those areas, and they're really excited. And the nice thing about it is you're definitely seeing, you know, the higher end, quote unquote, mm-hmm. of employees over at the University of Rochester, doctors, administrators who are purchasing in what I think traditionally people have seen as a less desirable neighborhood because they're so excited about getting a grant. And by doing that, they're integrating the neighborhoods. And I think that it is creating diversity and excitement about neighborhoods that, you know, traditionally people haven't thought that way about.
Okay. Beverly, what do you think?
While Leah was speaking, I was thinking about the Cornhill neighborhood how a few years back, Cornhill, it's a mixed group of units, whether it be purchase or rento, high end, more of the affordable end on the lower and moderate income sides. A perfect example of a neighborhood that's integrated with very diverse. And you're seeing more of that. You're seeing more and more projects and initiatives that are being put out there and made available to the community by folks like the Greater Rochester Housing Partnership, who will be one of the nonprofits on site on Saturday. And as I said, mentioned Conifer Realty. Conifer has been a strong partner within the community that has provided housing and worked on projects on both ends of the spectrum. So, I mean, you're seeing more and more. Home leasing is another Rochester cornerstone. So, you're seeing more of those projects out there and available for folks that make it so that everyone has an opportunity to want to live in the city, have that option, and understand and know what their options are. So, you know, it's nice that we're going to have some of those representatives there to be able to talk about their projects and share that with folks. So, I mean, when you talk about the different neighborhoods and make it, I think we're going to see more and more of that going down the line.
I suspect at the heart of all of this, we can talk about schools, we can talk about integration, but it all often comes back to poverty. You know, and it comes mm-hmm. back to the long-standing effort. And of course, right now we're seeing a ramping up of efforts like we have not seen in this community probably ever. And we're going to be talking to Leonard Brock and the team from the Anti-Poverty Initiative later this month. But it is going to take time. It took 30 years in Greenville. It's going to take some time in this community. So I think what we're seeing is hopefully some patience that doesn't change overnight, but that it happens maybe street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood,
sure.
program by program. And Mark's going to keep coming back trying to give us this blunt reality hammer. But but I know that what everybody wants is more opportunity and mm-hmm. more, you know, a diverse city in income, in all kinds of backgrounds.
That is exactly. I think we're all on the same page there. I live in the city. I've lived in the city for the past 25 years. I own a lot of rental property in the city. I want a more vibrant Rochester and a more integrated Rochester. So,
and you'd love to have families coming to you saying,
oh my
school's
God.
Not an issue, but I could just read a Twitter feed all day here, and we'll get to your calls coming up here. But we're seeing a lot of comments like this. And again, if you're one of these families, you're one of these people, you got questions or you got some of these concerns, that's what Celebrate City Living is about on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's online at celebratecityliving.com, but they'd love to see you from 10 to 3 at City Hall on Saturday. Marco writes, I live in West Irondequoit, chosen because of the school district. Just yesterday, my wife said we'd be living in the South Wedge, but we were just concerned about city schools. You know, that's one example. We see a wide range. Laura says, I would live in the city only if I had no school-age children. And then here's another comment on Twitter. Who's moving to Park Avenue, East End? Dinks. Empty nesters who don't want to live in a boring suburb. Dinks. Double income, no kids is the acronym. That's still what they call it, right? Is that still a term?
That is still a term. Absolutely.
Still a term. So we're seeing some of that, but that's all right. The phone's ringing. We're going to get to your calls in a second. Let's do this. Let's take a very short break. We'll come back, and we'll continue the conversation on city living in a number of different angles here with Leah Anselm, Senior Community Housing Planner for the City of Rochester, Beverly Fairbrooks, the Vice President and Regional Community Reinvestment Officer at M&T Bank, and the co-chair of Celebrate City Living, which has an event on Saturday at City Hall, and Mark Seawick, Real Estate Agent. Short break, and your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, what would Susan B. Anthony say if she were alive today? About the fight for women's pay equality, about the national discourse, about the presidential campaign. It's impossible to know for sure, but people who have studied her writing, her letters, her career, will join us next hour to tell us what they think Susan B. Anthony would be saying to women in 2016. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and let me get some of your phone calls in now. I'll start with Carl in Highland Park. Go ahead, Carl. Hi, Carl. Are you there? I don't hear Carl. Hold on one second, Carl. If you're there, wait 1 second. I think what we've got something to try to fix on the switch here. Okay. I'm going to put Carl back on hold.
All right.
Why don't we do that? Carl's in the Highland Park neighborhood, by the way. We'll come back to him in just a second. I will also tell you, if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Victoria on Twitter writing and saying, I know of two families that moved to the city this year, and kids are going to city schools. Nods from Beverly and Leah. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead here. Let's try Carl again in Highland Park. Are you there, Carl?
Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, sir.
I did want to say that I'm the hair of the Highland Park neighborhood, and we do have families coming over and staying. It's what I use to compare to some of our other neighborhoods, that we're the neighborhood where families stay. That being said, we have had many parents ourselves move out when their kids turn 5. And it is a constant problem that we worry about. But I did want to talk about values are going up outrageously in our part of town. My house has been assessed for $150 back in 2007, and now it is over $200 in this new assessment coming up. So if you need any more evidence that people are moving to the city, there you go.
Well, Carl, a couple points here before I let you go. When you say that you've got some families whom your concern is that they're going to move out when the kids turn 5, what are some of the things that you and maybe neighbors and people around you are doing to try to convince people to say? I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do right now all on your own about schools, but what are the other amenities, groceries, et cetera, that people are concerned about?
Well, we do things like we have Easter egg hunts in the neighborhood. We have neighborhood festivals that we keep to the neighborhood. We paint our street every year. Next weekend, we're going to try to win the Flower City Challenge Spirit Contest. So we try to form the community that people want to move to the city. And that's really our goal as the neighborhood association.
And you've, for what it's worth, you've succeeded in doing that. I mean, it is a great neighborhood. It's a neighborhood where people know each other. You email each other. There's a newsletter. You are united. And it's great housing stock. Moments walking to Highland Park. You've got the opportunity to go to the Highland Park Diner just down the street. It really is. It's just a real success story.
And Carl, when it comes to those assessments, though, what's it going to do to you? I mean, give me a sense for what the implications are.
Well, the good news for our neighborhood is that we were hit hardest in the 2012 reassessment. And so in this next one, as my house is going up, it's actually going up less than the city average, so my taxes will reduce because our neighbors in Swilburg and the South Wedge in particular are getting hammered by this newest reassessment.
Gotcha. Thanks for the phone call, Carl. Nice to get the perspective there. Mark, what do you do regarding assessments, et cetera? And I guess to some degree there's not a whole lot he can do. I mean, it's a function of success, but what's the message?
It is a message of success. So, unfortunately, with the increased value of the property and with the focus on that particular neighborhood and people wanting to be there, bidding wars taking place. Just last week, we had a few listings that had bidding wars. Unfortunately, if you're going to be enjoying that kind of success, you sometimes have to pay for the privilege of the success that you're enjoying. So,
but it does sound like that is one of the really great city neighborhoods. And Leah, Mark jumped right on it and said, you know, Carl's right, that this is a very community-oriented, that they do a lot to kind of knit that neighborhood together. Are you starting to see more of that in neighborhoods around the city? You know, that community, that sense of community. Because that was his answer for how are families going to want to stay. You want to stay because this is the kind of place where you don't just get home, go straight in the house, lock your door. This is a place where you can be outside and feel comfortable and feel a sense of togetherness.
Absolutely. And we do see that in other communities. You know, the number of neighborhood associations that have contacted us that, you know, they want to be a part of Celebrate City Living because they want outsiders, as it were, to find out about all the great things that they do in their neighborhoods. And it's not just, you know, Highland Park, although Highland Park is great, and you know we will send our money to Carl later. Thank you for your plug. But other neighborhoods across the city, you know, we're having a mini celebration up in Charlotte, and the Charlotte neighbors are just so excited to have other people come into town and see, here's all the great things that are up near us, and it's not just the beach. Not that the beach isn't great, but there's more there.
Sure. Beverly?
Well, one of the things that we're doing at Celebrate City Living, if you go to the website all year round, that website is going to be highlighting the various neighborhoods throughout the city limits of Rochester. And it's going to be able to highlight the beautiful things about these individual neighborhoods. And for people to go to that website, we strongly encourage that because there are a lot of things that people don't know and aren't aware of what's going on within the city limits. And as Carl had called in earlier and had mentioned about the different activities that were going on, you're going to be able to access that information through the website. So I strongly encourage people to go to that website, that's celebratecityliving.com. And not only were we going to be highlighting the various neighborhoods, but we've got information about different activities and events that are going on throughout the city limits of Rochester. So this is really important, an important time of the year for us, an important event that we're doing on Saturday, and we strongly encourage people to, you know, come on out. This is for everybody. This is not just for, you know, as I said, a targeted audience. This is for everyone. And even if you're not looking to purchase, you may know someone that is seeking to purchase or someone that's looking to know what their rental options are or what are the other amenities and benefits of the city. So we strongly encourage people to
and
come
in
on
the
out.
Past, by the way, I know you guys have done things like a bus tour. You've done other kinds of
absolutely.
Are you doing that?
We're doing the bus tour. There are going to be bus tours running on Saturday. And in addition to that, we've got some open houses also that we're going to be showing. But that won't occur on Saturday necessarily. Is that,
right.
Leah? That's on
right.
Sunday, April open 17th.
Houses, Sunday, April 17th for the open houses.
For the open
Saturday
house.
The 16th
Saturday,
for the bus
tours,
tours.
With
yep.
the landmark.
Okay.
Yes.
But you have to register in advance. The bus tours are always very popular. So they're just about half full, I think, already. So if you want to take one,
CelebrateCityLiving.com.
It's all there. CelebrateCityLiving.com. Our phones are loaded here, so let me get back
fantastic.
To the phones. John in Rochester, next up. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Evan. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to comment. I bought my house in the neighborhood, you know, colloquially known as the White Coat Ghetto, just south of U of R, Strong Hospital. And at the time I bought it, it was kind of in a dilapidated state, and I started fixing it up over the summer, and the neighbors... Nobody walked up to me or said anything, but they were all kind of looking, and they all thought I was going to be a landlord. So they lodged complaint after complaint to the city about, you know, things they weren't happy with. And eventually, there was a driveway in my yard, on the property that was 2 cars wide. And it was like that for 18 years before I bought the house. And they took me to the city to make me rip out half of the driveway because it's only supposed to be 1 car wide. And just things like that, I just felt so unwelcomed by the community here. And I feel like that I would never consider living in the city again.
Hmm. Well, John, thanks for the phone call. I would hope, though, that that's a sort of an outlier experience. But Mark Seawick, go ahead.
It is, unfortunately, another example of a neighborhood experiencing incredible success. And the White Coat Ghetto, as you're in the name, obviously derived from all the docs who are walking to and from, and all the residents who are walking to and from the hospital. There are so many of these interns and residents who are living there that it's become very, very congested. And so there is a concern in that particular neighborhood about properties being purchased by investors and putting 4 or 5 residents in there who are living for 4 years, and they just continue to take over their grass and putting in larger and larger and larger driveways. So, and unfortunately, again, it's a neighborhood that's successful.
Yeah. Is that the term, by the way, you're familiar with? White Coat Ghetto?
Yeah, that's what everybody
that's
calls
the
it.
Colloquial. I had not heard that. You know, Leah, just thoughts on, is that, again, just another function of success, or is anything that you'd want John to know from your perspective?
Well, I think, it sounds like it's a good thing, John. You know, you've purchased it. It sounds like you're not going to be, you know, just renting to year after year's worth of new students. You're actually there to be part of the neighborhood. And my hope would be that the neighbors would get to know you and you know, understand your goals are good at heart and, you know, begin to welcome you. And I think that over time that is happening. On the other hand, you know, even for 4 years, you know, somebody can become connected with their neighborhood. I mean, there are a lot of doctors and residents who come in and they think, oh, I'm just going to be here for a few years. And then we all know that moving is hard. And then they decide to stay.
I think that's a good point. Let me get Carlene, also from the Highland Park area. Go ahead, Carlene.
Well, he just brought up a subject that's very important. I was in Park Avenue. We started, there was a whole gang of us that started all the stores and everything in Park Avenue back in 1970, antique shops, art galleries, et cetera. And it was, I hate to say it, but Park Avenue was pretty much run down and decrepit. What's going on with Upper Mount Hope is also creeping into Highland Park neighborhood, and it's something that they need to take care of if you can change the zoning. There are investors who are taking what is single-family homes, and because of the zoning, they are putting in four non-related individuals who are obviously students, adults, and then charging them each anywhere from $500 to $700 a month. So they're making an enormous profit, and half of the homes over in Upper Mount Hope have been subjected to this. And out in Henrietta, they had the same problem. They went to zoning, and they changed it down to three people. We've brought it up with the city before. I'm sure Mark Siuk, who I know very well, and helped build Cornhill as well as all the other neighborhoods, he knows what I'm talking about. But it's very subtle at first, and you don't realize what's happening until somebody's bought a house and there's five more cars on the street. They don't even have the off-street parking. So what you have is a situation where you have a neighborhood that was always very residential that's now being turned into a density of usage that makes it unpleasant and unhappy for families. So where I am with that, I also want to add that Carl, who called, he helped make things better by being the head of the PTA at school number 12, really investing in the city schools, but not everybody can do that. So I'll let you go back to this great show, but this problem with multiples is a real it's like a cancer in the neighborhoods that's beginning to creep in more and more. And Mark, do you know of anyone who's doing anything about it?
All right, thanks for the phone call. We'll start with you. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I think it's a great point. And thankfully, the city several years ago began offering, and I don't think they do it anymore because the program is so successful, but they began offering grants so that single-family homes that had been converted into two-family and three-family and four-family homes, these grants were made available so that people could deconvert them and lessen density within city neighborhoods. And that was a great program. And I would agree that a lot of the properties in White Coat Ghetto and some of the other neighborhoods, there probably needs to be some attention paid to how many students can live under one roof. And perhaps four is too many. So I would encourage the city, city council and others to actually look at whether or not maybe that should be changed to three.
Okay. Leah, what do you think?
Well, it just made me smile because when I went to university, there were no sororities. Excuse me. There were fraternities, but there were no sororities because the town where I went to school had a bylaw that no more than six unrelated females could live in a property together or it was a brothel. And so,
oh
you know,
next hour we're talking about what right. would Susan B. Anthony say if she were alive today? Oh my gosh.
Yes,
you know,
so.
How's that for equality? But go ahead.
Right. No, so I think that it's always a concern, but you want to also educate, you know, the owners of the properties on how best to make sure that if you are going to have a multiples property, that you have the best tenants you possibly can have.
Okay. Well, I hope we answered that as best we could for you, Carly. And thanks for the phone call. I'm going to grab Andy in Rochester, who's also been waiting. Go ahead, Andy.
How's it going? Great show.
Thanks.
I've lived in the city since 2008, bought my house. My wife and I live here. It's great. We don't ever plan on moving. But one thing is, I think Carl, the previous caller, brought up the assessments and how they got changed. My house now is like basically, even if I wanted to move, it's assessed at a higher value than I could even sell it for. So, you know, that's not a very attractive thing to a home buyer. Not that I'm trying to move, and I hope that it is worth what they say, but I don't see it. And, you know, the taxes go up, and I'm wondering about, like, the value of what I'm getting in return for that, you know. So it's a concern, and we love it here, but, you know.
Well, you've always got the option, obviously, of approaching the city and having your assessment challenged to bring down the assessment so that you're paying go ahead.
I did try that twice, but they said, nope, you can't do it. So,
yeah, that's unfortunate.
I mean, I get it, but it's a concern that I think people would have moving into the city. Like I said, we love living here, but it's something that people would look at. And when the city has a property tax cap and they're trying to elevate their, you know, revenues, kind of, you know, what you get stuck with, so...
Well, Andy, thanks for the phone call. If Leah and Beverly, if Andy shows up, if someone like him shows up on Saturday and says, I want to be the kind of person who moves here and stays here, but they're presenting the kind of concerns he's raising now as someone who lives here, you know, what's the message for them?
Well, one of the, and I'll let Beverly talk in a minute. She jumped in and then I had already interrupted her. Sorry. The neighborhood service centers are, you know, there's... Oh, my goodness, now 4 of them. Sorry. And you can go there and you can talk to city staff about any number of concerns as well as positives. And they, along with 311, have the opportunity to get you kind of where you need to go and talk to the right people. Having come from a housing background, and I think Beverly will be able to talk to that as well, there are a lot of things that you can do. And in general, when it comes to selling your house, you know, the appraisal and the mortgage company have a lot to do with changing the assessment. And so if your house ends up being highly overassessed and you did decide to sell it, the market kind of corrects for that. But we do find that, you know, it is a concern, and we want people to be able to, at the event and all during the year, be able to find somebody to talk to about their concerns and how best to address it.
And we had mentioned earlier about who would be there this Saturday, and we have, around noontime, we've got Hot Dog with the Top Dog, and that includes several city council members that will be there who will be able to address your concerns, or certainly be able to talk with you a little bit more about what those issues are and how to work around those things. And, you know, and it's always good to know what's going on in the city and who you need to talk to deal with. But you also, it's good for the city councilors to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
And this is certainly an opportunity for folks who have these concerns to be able to share those with our city leaders in hopes of being able to influence action from that will help to ease these concerns and these issues and challenges that some of the residents may have.
So Hot Dog with the Top Dog
hot
at
dog
noon.
Hot Dog with the Top Dog.
11:30 and 12:30.
Yes.
There you go. So that's all part of Celebrate City Livings, which is 10 to 3 at City Hall this coming Saturday. Let me get one more phone call, and this is Judy in Brighton. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi. First of all, I couldn't agree with Carlene anymore. I live in Brighton, but I'm very much affected by College Town. And one of the things that we who live here are noticing is we don't, we have tons of students renting here. And we're really worried about the future of College Town when we see stores closing and we see lots and lots and lots of bars opening. Would you care to comment?
Sure. Thanks for the phone call. Thoughts from the panel? Anyone want to go ahead, Mark?
I would agree. I think that the municipalities, whether it's the town of Brighton or the city of Rochester, as I said earlier, probably need to look at how many non-related individuals can live under one roof. So the good news is that, again, it's successful and there are people moving in. Let's see whether or not we can control some of that success a little bit.
Okay, so before we are done with the hour, what I want to do is just address a couple of points about where some of the demand is coming for the supply, especially of downtown higher end. And again, to some degree, we're talking about two separate things this hour, but we wanted to loop it all together as we talk about Celebrate City Livings on Saturday, bringing in more people sometimes more family, but more home buyers to Rochester neighborhoods across the city. And then the question of this downtown boom when it comes to higher end. And our colleague Rachel Barnhart put together a list of reasons that there actually is a supply, at least for now. I want to see if Mark Seawick agrees as we go down this list here. First of all, there are more households without children now. In 2000, 102,000 homes without kids in Monroe County, and in 2014, 121,000 homes without kids.
Absolutely. One of the reasons you see that, and as you said earlier, I believe the mayor that you had talked about earlier, these are people who have more money because they were living in the suburbs for 20 years. They sell, they come downtown, they've got money, they can invest in something that's nice.
Okay, so there's one of the reasons. Population is aging. Between 2000 and 2014, the median age in Monroe County went from 36.1 to 39 years old. The share of the population claimed by people over the age of 65 went from 13% to 15.5%. Seniors tend to like to downsize, and they often, you know, sell larger homes, maybe have more money to spend on a smaller but more luxury place. Yes.
Absolutely. Smaller but more expensive materials, more marble, more crown moldings, that kind of thing.
Okay, so the numbers do support that.
Absolutely.
For the demand for the supply. Millennials, are they buying? Well, the percentage of the population between 20 and 34, millennials, went from 19.8% in 2000 to 21.3% in 2014. That's an additional 15,000 young people in Monroe County. And generally speaking, this is a broad brush here, but millennials, there's a lot of interest in living in, whether it's downtown or just city neighborhoods. I think right now millennials are more open to that than maybe previous generations. Yes?
Absolutely. No two ways about it. And again, this is all supporting what you were saying earlier. You're seeing the young, you're seeing the older population, but you're not seeing the in-between.
Sure. And so millennials, yes or no, do you guys think, you know, do you expect to see a good amount of millennials at Celebrate City Livings on Saturday?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes, I believe that.
It's an openness to city neighborhoods in general. It's an openness to community that, you know, it's been pretty well documented, but it's an interesting phenomenon. So I guess that's more possible demand for again, it doesn't have to be downtown luxury lofts. It could be any house in any city neighborhood. Yes, Leah?
Right. You're looking for the ease of access. You know, being able to get to what you need to get to without having to drive. I mean, so many more people are interested in walkability. You know, they're interested in being able to walk down the street, whether it's, you know, to a restaurant or to the library, you know, and they want that to be right there.
All right. Well, a few more factors that Rich Barnhart mentioned in some of the work she did on this story, which is that home ownership rate is falling. Is that right, Mark Seawick?
Home ownership rates are falling, and that's really interesting. And there's all sorts of reasons to support that. I won't bore you, but at the moment, you're seeing more and more people renting, and that is in part why it is that you've got these developers, whether it's Dave Krister or Bob Morgan, whether or not it's the Glazer family, building these apartments downtown. There are more and more people renting.
70% of households were owner-occupied in 2000 in Monroe County, and in 2014, 64%.
Yeah, exactly.
Owner-occupied. That's still, I don't know if that's a strong number compared to, I don't know what it is across the country. Leah, is there a target number in mind? Do you want to see more home ownership for those who can't afford it? I mean, is that a goal for the city?
I think, you know, it really works both ways. Obviously, people love home ownership because it's, you know, the traditional idea is that they are more engaged in their communities. But it really, you know, home ownership isn't for everybody. You know, who wants to wake up at 2 a.m. because their water heater died and have to deal with it themselves? Some people really prefer to be able to call up their landlord and say, oh my God, my water heater died.
Sure. Okay, well, 30 seconds apiece then to finish here. And Beverly, I'll start with you. When it comes to what's going on Saturday, celebrate cityliving.com. If this kind of program is successful, what is happening in Rochester? What happens if this works, if this is a success?
If this is a success, and it will be a success, what you're going to see is you're going to see more activity on that website to let you know what's happening in Rochester and how we, as a unit, the Rochester Coalition for City Living, how we can be a resource for you and all others that are interested in coming to live in the city of Rochester, whether it be home ownership or rental.
Okay, and Mark, biggest trend you're seeing in the city of Rochester, proper or downtown, right now when it comes to housing?
There's not enough product. People are desperate to move into these great neighborhoods, and we cannot find enough property to sell to these buyers. So what you're seeing is a property going on the market for sale. If it's in good condition, appropriately priced, it's selling within 24 hours. It's selling with three, four, five offers, $10,000, $15,000 over asking. It's incredible.
So we are not close to eclipsing supply and demand there.
We are nowhere near. We need more product.
More product. Is that, I guess it's a good problem to have, Leah. At least.
Sure. I think that's a success, right?
Absolutely.
Well, good luck on Saturday. It's 10 to 3 at City Hall. There are bus tours. You can register in advance if you want to take a bus tour. CelebrateCityLiving.com. And CelebrateCityLiving.com, of course, is aimed at the Saturday event, but it's an ongoing idea to check that if you want to check the website.
One-stop shop.
There you go. All kinds of information there. Our thanks to our guests for the hour. Beverly Fairbrooks, thanks for taking the time to be here. Nice to see you. Leah Anselm from the City of Rochester, the Senior Community Housing Planner. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Mark Seawick, Rochester real estate agent. Nice to see you again, sir.
Thank you very much, Evan. Take care, bud.
Thanks for being here. A short break. More connections next.